Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Drop the Mic Instagram Live. I am your host, Darren Jenkins, and on today's conversation, we'll have Amy Tsang, who was a brilliant actor in the film Silent River. She played Greta and Julie, and she was also the costume designer for the actual film. That's actually really cool. We'll be talking to her today, but before we get going, I wanted to make sure that everybody knew that Silent River is going to be screening in both New York and in North Hollywood this week, or this coming week. It'll be at the 45th Asian American International Film Festival on Thursday, August 4th at 8:15. You can get tickets online at www.aaiff.org, and it'll be playing at the Asian Society. It's going to be a great screening. It's a great theater. Come on out and watch some amazing cinema, and as we'll be talking about later on to this session. It'll also be playing closing night at the 22nd The Valley Film Festival, which is on Sunday, August 7th at 6:30. Tickets for that can be had at www.valleyfilmfest.org. We're looking into a great show. We had a great conversation yesterday with Brian Ralston, who's the composer of the film, and you know, we're expecting an equally fun conversation today. I've seen this film a couple of times, and I think it is one of those films that you always take something new away from it. If you like David Lynch, if you are a David Lynch fan, and I know there are a ton of David Lynch fans, you will love this film. And so without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and invite Amy to join me in the room. Hi, Amy. There she is.
Hi. This is my first time doing this.
That's okay. I'm rather new to it too, so we can learn together.
Hey, great. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? It's been a while since I've seen you, but everything good?
Yeah. Everything's good, you know. I did get the vid recently.
No. Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I just recovered from that.
I think everybody, I think everyone's getting their turn at it, basically. I got it like a couple weeks ago, so it was not fun. Nothing that I want to brag or share with friends. Thanks for joining us on the show today.
Yeah. Thank you for having me. This is awesome.
So I'm curious, as a kid, what was your first thing that you wanted to be when you grew up?
First thing I wanted to be, I think I said I wanted to be an artist.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Any kind of specific art, or was it like crayon art? No.
Well, I was always, I loved drawing since I was like 3 years old. And I would in my playroom, I would have these art galleries put up for my parents to see. You know, I just like, you know, draw things and then I just stick them up on the wall. And I didn't even know it was called a gallery, but I just was like, needed to display my work to my parents for them to be proud of me. And then I would lead them in the room and I'd be like, this is this and this is this. And I would tell them about my pictures.
So you, not only were you an artist, you were a gallery owner at the same time.
Right.
Well, you know, you gotta get your stuff seen, man. You know, even at that age, you knew people had to see it. It's good.
What about you?
Oh my God. Oh, this is embarrassing.
I want to know.
I wanted to be Michael Jackson.
What?
Yeah, I wanted to be.
Jared.
Maybe not him, but I wanted to be just like him. So, like, okay. I can remember, like, me and this friend of mine, we would run home from school, and we'd go into my living room, and we'd put on the hi-fi, and put on Jackson 5 records, and we would dance and sing to the actual album. And we would practice routines and the whole bit, you know. Okay. So we had it all down. Yeah. That's a good question. If it's Jackson 5's, 5 is probably I Want to Be Where You Are, probably. I'm kind of a sentimental fool. So, yeah, it's a good one. But nothing that I want to, publicly put out there. Don't hashtag that.
I want to hear you sing sometime.
You know what? I can sing. I really can't sing. I know people, I tell people this and they're like, yeah, all right, sure. But like, wow. So I had an operation like a couple years ago and, you know, they had to deflate my lungs to do it. And when they reinflated them, it gave me this really deep voice. I can still sing, but my singing is all about the breath, the breathing, and so it's harder for me to hit certain things now. But I can kill a karaoke machine, man. Let me tell you. So the next time we.
Where have you been when we've been karaokeing with Silent?
Oh, I know. I feel like I always tell people too late. They're like, what? We just went, man. Come on. Yeah. So next time you're in the city, the whole cast and us, we should all go karaoke.
Oh, my God. We totally should.
I definitely want to see Phil karaoke.
I have not heard Phil sing, actually. I've heard Chris sing, and Chris is amazing.
Oh, really?
Chris is just, he's so good. Like, I can't believe how good he is. Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, we are so going karaoke, man. We are so going just for that.
He sings Radiohead. He sings just all the rock songs and the alternative songs.
What's your song? What's your go-to song? Phil just.
Hi, Phil. My go-to song is "Careless Whisper."
That is third on my list, right there.
Is it?
Yes, it is. That's like anything George Michael. I'm down for.
I know, and it's just such a good song to sing to for in karaoke. Sing along song.
Yeah. Yes. It's exactly. I like songs where everybody can get involved. That way, it covers me up a little bit. So you know. When did you start down the road of acting? Like, what was your first? What do you recall as the first time you were like, that seems kind of interesting. Maybe I want to do that.
I always enjoyed watching movies, and I was actually in college in Beijing, I wanted to be a designer, and I actually didn't think about it until I was studying art and design in Beijing, and I was watching a ton of movies. I had access to all these international films because at the time, there were a lot of pirated DVDs, and I would just get them so cheap in China, just everywhere. And I just watched so many movies, and I was like, you know what? I love what the actors are doing. I mean, I really resonated with stories that were being told, the ones that I was watching, and it really helped me through like a really tough time. And I was like, you know, I want to do that. You know, I want to be part of that.
That's the best bootleg DVD story I've ever heard. Seriously. that some,
I know it's
someone
not good for our industry, and you know, obviously I don't do that anymore.
I challenge anybody out there to tell me they've never seen a bootleg DVD. I challenge them, because you know, and a friend of mine used to have this theory that the industry would kind of float a few of those bad boys out there themselves as underground marketing ploys.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so I totally believe that, because it just kind of weird how some of those films just make it out really on time. You're like, what? This movie was just out yesterday. What's going on? And it's like out on the street already? That's insane.
You mean back then or now?
Well, I don't know. I haven't seen a bootleg DVD in a long time.
Such good access now with like Netflix and Hulu.
Right.
All the platforms, Amazon, so.
Yeah, there's no need for it anymore. You can go, and even if you don't have any like the paid platforms, you can go on Tubi or something and watch it for free. I mean, it's got commercials, but you don't care. Who cares, right? I mean, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good quality.
Yeah. So what was your first role? What was the first thing you acted in?
My first role, was signed to a TV studio in Hong Kong, and in order for them to train us, they just pushed us out to do background work. So I think those was like this really itty bitty role. I don't even remember, because it was such a rush of like different types of things that they pushed us to go do, and
right.
It was just so tired. I don't remember what I did, but I guess I can tell you about my first movie role. My first movie role, English speaking movie role, was in this movie called Eternity, and yeah, it was a New Zealand filmmaker, Alex Galvin, and it was a sci-fi drama, and I played the wife of the lead in it. Yeah.
So is there a genre that you like? Is there like a certain genre that you're attracted to more than, like, is it drama or sci-fi? Because I, you know, this film cuts across a couple different genres in a way. You know, it's got a little bit of sci-fi, a little horror, a little drama, a little, you know, it's got a little bit of everything. But is there something that you kind of like levitate towards?
Yeah. You know, generally I do love drama and, you know, of the sci-fi aspect and thriller. I do love those genres. In terms of like what genre I would like to act in, it's really about the story. I don't think
there's
there's a particular genre that I'm like, I want to stick to this genre.
Right.
Yeah.
There are very few actors who go, you know what, I'm just going to do horror. Well, actually, that's not true. There's a few actors. There are a few actors that just all they've done is horror, which is good, because if you're good at it and you like it, that's up to you. You can decide what you want to do. What drew you to this production?
You know, like I said, like, I love Chris. I told you this before.
Yep.
Chris is just such a... He's just such a interesting filmmaker, and I love the story. I loved the script. I love the character.
And what do you love about the characters? Like, was there something that you were like, oh yeah, I want this. This is, yeah.
You know, I loved how complex, characters. I love how complex she was. I love that it was a dual role, so it was a lot of fun to play in. You know, the contrast of the two characters, and I just felt like I knew this character. You know, when I was reading it, I was like, "Oh, I understand."
What was the biggest challenge, What was the biggest challenge that this dual role kind of presented for you? Because, you know, when a person does a dual role in a film, I'm really impressed, because that's a lot of muscle to kind of have to flex, yeah, trying to go back and forth, and also trying to do, like, act, because there's a certain amount of things you kind of keep under wraps in a certain sense, not to give away too much of what's going to happen down the road in the film.
True. I never really thought about it that way, actually. But that's a good point. Now, that is a good point. While I was doing it, maybe the challenge was just keeping track of who I was in each role.
Mm. Yeah.
So it wasn't so much that, you know, I was tracking how to do the story so that nothing was revealed or whatever. It was more about, you know, every time it's like, I'm just thinking from a different perspective.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That would be a little confusing to kind of keep name straight. Yeah. Well, yeah, Chris, man, that's your job, man.
Chris did a very good job track for me, so great.
I would have been, it would have been interesting. Whenever I've seen like a role like that, I've always kind of wanted to do that too, because I think it is kind of fun. Like, it's like, especially if the characters are very far apart in like personality, you know, it's like, there's like, it's almost like playing, like, I would equate that when you play like a good person, like a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, right? I mean, that is the ultimate one actor, two character, you know, role. And to play that is interesting, because you get to explore not only these dualities, but how each of these characters relate to each other. And that's weird, because there's, you know, it's hard to, I mean, I have trouble playing me, you know what I'm saying? So
it's just so much fun. It's like, you know, doing two movies at the same time.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And I've never tried that, but I hear it's very hard. how do you know, go about creating a believable character? Like, how do you, like, see this, I mean, the dialogue's on the page, you read it, you know, it's amazing, but then you still have to develop, like, how do you make it believable, I guess, as an actor?
Yeah, I start by asking tons of questions.
Mm.
You know, I'm just daydreaming about anything that arrived, like in the script I'm reading. Okay, maybe there's like dialogue where it talks about the character in a certain way, and I'm like, oh, okay, I wonder why that they're saying this about that character in that way. Like, I wonder what that's about. And then so I do a lot of exploration with trying to, you know, just have a little more understanding first of the general, like, oh, where is she from? Where, you know, what has she done? And obviously, whatever the script is telling me, I just try to, like, oh, think about those things. Like, think about, like, where she's from, what she's done, who she's seen, how she relates to the other characters. And then, you know, I go deep dive into creating memories, you know, relationships. I think about the relationships between the characters. And it's just a lot of imagination work, you know, a lot of exploration.
Mm. Mm-mm. I'm going to reset this real quick. Hi, everyone. I'm Darren. I am the host of Drop the Mic. I'm with Amy Singh, who is a brilliant actress and played the role of Greta and Julie in this brilliant film, Silent River, directed by Christian Lee. It will be screening. A lot of people have been asking me, like, when they can see this film. You can see it right now. Okay, you can go up and watch the trailer. There are trailers up on the website. You can go to the 45th Annual Asian American International Film Festival, which will be on Thursday, August 4th at 8:15. Tickets are available. You can get tickets there at www.aaiff.org. Or if you're on the left coast out there in Hollywood, you can go to the Valley Film Festival, which will be on Sunday, August 7th at 6:30. This film will be screening. And you can go up to valleyfilmfest.org to buy tickets. There are I highly recommend seeing this in the theaters because this is such a beautifully shot film. I think the dark room and all the people and the you know just adds to the level of creepiness that this film kind of presents to you. And it also, I think, the music is just so captivating that it just being in that room is an experience, and I think you have to be there to see it. Although, when it comes out on digital, I would not say you shouldn't be there either, because there's something about being at home and under the covers watching this kind of a film. So, Amy, what makes a good scene partner? Like, how could the chemistry between you and Wes Leong, who plays Elliot in the film, who was also you both crushed it this year, by the way. Well, tons of congrats to all the awards you guys picked up for acting in this film. How do you build chemistry on the set, on the screen for like a role like this?
It did help that Wes and I were you know, we knew each other.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. But I, you know, I feel like I like to connect offset with, you know, the people I'm working with. I love just like talking to them, not about the work, but just getting to know them.
Personally. You know,
yeah, I just kind of, if there is a time, if time allows, I do like to connect with them on a personal level first. Right. And if time does not allow and we just get through on set, then I still try to engage like out of my, not, you know, my, as my character, but engage like, hey, how are you? You know, how are you doing? How's your day? But yeah, in this case with Silent River, it really helped that we were all friends. Like, you know, I got to know Max a little bit beforehand too. We had time to do that, to build that. And, you know, Chandra's a good friend who plays Amanda,
right.
Angela, and, you know, Dakota, we worked together before. So it was all really like, it was all there, you know, and we were just having fun on set.
Well, I mean, that's, yeah, I guess that's where karaoke can be helpful. I mean, if you can go out to karaoke, of course.
That's... Yes, karaoke. Karaoke definitely, you know, breaks ice and gets you to know people really quickly because you're like, okay, they're choosing that song. That says something about that person.
Yeah. You're like, no, not sure about this guy. He's playing too much Vanilla Ice. I'm not sure.
And also the Korean ones. So you really, really get to know some people really quickly.
Maybe they should make that as mandatory for every film. Like, right, every film should have to have karaoke night before they start shooting. Just, you know, to weed out the weird people. So.
Well, we want the weird people, I feel like.
Yeah, that's what I mean. You know, who's...
We don't want the weird people.
Well, I mean, be honest, we're all kind of a little weird anyway. So it's not really going to, it's pretty much going to be everybody. So.
Yeah, that's me. So. It's okay.
So what's the first thing you do when you approach a role? Like, is it, you know, is it research? Is it talking to the director to see where his mind is? Is it, I know a lot of people do a lot of different things, so.
Yeah, it starts with, I read the script bunch of times. I probably read the script like 20 times. And to fully understand the full story first. And I kind of think at it first. I'm right. Not really like, oh, jump right to my character. Just do my own thing.
Right.
Just really try to understand the whole story and the relationships between each character and, you know, the journey of the main characters and, you know, really try to understand that first. And then, of course, I have a conversation with the creator, you know.
Right.
I had extensive conversations with Chris about it, like things I was curious about. I'm like, oh, what's that? You know, why did you have her say that? Or like, you know, where is she coming from? Like, right. I had tons of questions. I gave him headache.
Yeah, but it all turned out good. So I'm sure Chris was okay with the result of all of those questions. So
yeah, no, he loves it.
Do you get nervous before the camera rolls? And if so, what kind of advice do you have for other actors and how to handle that nervousness that happens, like when you're getting ready to shoot?
You know, I'm not
Or do
sure.
you get nervous?
You know, I certainly do, but it's not nerves that I feel like are debilitating like it used to be, like right. where I can't speak and I forget all my lines. That kind of, I usually, whatever I'm feeling, I use that, you know, I use like, I don't push any emotions away.
Right.
Think I need to be a certain way in order to do that's whatever scene I'm doing. If I'm nervous, I tell myself this is excitement, you know, and you know, I use it because human beings get nervous. You know?
Right. Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah. I guess that's a good way of trying to.
And no matter what front you put on, you know.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm on podcasts a lot and I'm nervous every single time right beforehand.
Yeah.
Mostly because I'm going to spell somebody, say somebody's name wrong or something. Or, you know.
You care. It's because you care. I feel like.
I care. I try to care, you know. Interviewing somebody a couple days ago, and they're from Amsterdam, and their names were extremely challenging for me. So I stayed up for like a couple hours at night trying to make sure I could pronounce their names, because you know I'm sensitive about my name. Why wouldn't anybody else be sensitive about their name? And I think it's you know, only courteous to try to get that right, you know. So
that's awesome.
So you mentioned earlier that you were into fashion. Did that inspire your wanting or jumping in to be the costume designer for this film as well? Which, by the way, fantastic.
Thank you. totally. You know, I've always been into clothes and, I love vintage clothing, and so I was doing that at the time when I'm still doing it, but like at the time I was really just kind of starting to collect vintage clothing and sell. And I just had so many places that I was going to source. And so I already knew where to get stuff and, you know, and costume and what a character wears is so important for me, developing my own characters. So I already saw it from that point of view. You know, right. Like, oh, I get to do all the characters. Yay. You know, I get to like dress up. It's kind of like playing dress up. I get to
playing dress up. Yeah.
A lot harder than what I thought, but it was just like, oh, I get to play dress up. I get to like, you know, I'm going to do this for this person. I'm going to do that, you know? Yeah. And I just love, being able to think about all the characters to figure out, you know, what they would wake up, what to, you know, what would they would pick up and where, you know, so.
It's something that, it's kind of a weird job on a film, because I feel like the only time when you ever hear about it is on the bigger, the super budget films. But there, it's important for, like, you know, you can't be doing like a period piece and have, you know, costumes from 1995, you know what I'm saying? So, and you can't have a guy who's supposed to be poor and destitute wearing, you know, Prada, you know, it has to make sense. And it does definitely like help build the character, you know?
Oh yeah. It 100% helps tell the story and tells you a lot about characters, how people choose to express themselves. What they are really inside. And
is that something that you'd like to do for future projects? Is that like doing more costume design for other films and TV shows? And
oh yeah, I mean, this was such a great start. I mean, during the pandemic, I did costume design for a bunch of shorts, and
nice.
It was all because they knew, oh yeah, you did costume design for a feature. You know, you could probably handle doing our short.
Oh, yeah.
So I got a lot of opportunities from friends that knew I was doing it. And from that, I was recommended to other people and referred to other people. And I have been doing it.
Wow. Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's cool.
So you hear that. Anybody out there who's got a film and you need a top-notch costume designer, guess what? There's someone right here for you. So,
well, I don't know if I could do that. I mean, I have too much respect for the real costume designers. But yeah, like, it's a really tough job, and I you know, it gave me a new perspective on how hard it is for the costume designer. So now, you know, every time I go to wardrobe fittings, anything, I'm just like, thank you. I know how much work they put into it. Yeah.
I remember being on the set of Malcolm X, and the mount, they had a set that was near 42nd Street in Times Square in the bottom of this basement. And the room must have been, I don't even know, it was massive. It was like 50, 60 yards and nothing but clothes, just clothes everywhere. Yep. I was like, wow. Whoever did costume design for this must be like insane, because, and then when you watch the movie, you kind of get it, like all the different.
It's incredible.
Yeah, I don't know if I could have pulled that one off. Before we go, I have some fun questions. I figured I would toss your way. Who's the funniest person in the cast?
Funniest person in the cast?
Yep.
Ooh, Wes will think he is. Wes will think he's the funniest person, but
it could be you.
I don't know, between Chandra and Dakota, I don't know.
Mm.
I think they're really funny.
Okay. Yeah. All right. What are some of your off-screen interests?
Off-screen interests? Like mm-hmm. hobbies and stuff?
Wes is like, wow. Don't worry, Wes. I got your back.
Do you think Wes is funny?
I think he's funny. Well, I'm seeing him type all these things here, so that was funny.
Okay. Yeah. Off-screen interest, I guess you're talking about, like, what I like to do for
fun. Yeah, what you do for fun or relax when you're not shooting something.
You know, I love to I love to go to art museums.
Nice.
Walk around art museums. I love going walking around gardens. Like, I love Huntington Library in Pasadena. Mm. Love to hike. I love reading.
Mm.
Wes
says you love good food.
I love good. That's actually number one. Yes, that's
good. I was waiting for that to come up because, like, that was the one thing I do remember you mentioning to me. Like, food is kind of important.
I'm not sure if it's a hobby. It's life.
Okay.
Life. I don't think I could, like, not have good food. You know?
Okay. Well, that's fair.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if you had a magic wand, what would be the next, what film or TV project would you want to be on?
Ooh, magic wand. Oh, there's so many. Oh my God. I don't know. Wow, Darren, that's a hard question. I don't know. Like,
is there something like a genre that you haven't done that you'd like to try, like comedy or something like that?
Darren, but I don't think I can do it. Like, I feel like,
really?
I feel like I can't be like those fun in those. Am I still there? Yeah. I don't think I could be in a sitcom, but I would love to be in a comedy, you know.
I think I could do a comedy.
You think I could do a comedy?
Yeah, I absolutely think you could do a comedy.
Awesome.
100%.
Thank you. Thank you for that faith.
when someone casts you in a comedy, I want you to think about this conversation and go, yeah, like, Darren was right.
When that saw it.
That's right. if this is probably going to be hard for you then too. If someone was going to make a movie about your life, who would you want to play you?
Play me?
Yeah.
Wow. I don't know. Wow, this is usually the question is the, you know, so.
Well, you know.
I don't know. Do you have someone in mind?
For me? Or for you?
For me, for you? Do you have someone in mind?
Oh. Okay, it depends on who you ask. If you ask friends, if you have certain friends, I know exactly who they would choose, and I would kill them. they would choose Damon Wayans. We won't get into that. Yeah.
Oh yeah. I mean, I can see that though, but I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
if it were me, of course, it would be Denzel Washington.
Denzel is older than you, though.
It's okay. I don't mind. I don't mind. Denzel could be 75 years old and still do it, and I won't mind.
I want Meryl Streep to play me. No, just kidding.
she'd guarantee you at least an Oscar nom. For sure. What's next? What are you up to? What are you doing that you can share with us, because I know you're doing a lot of stuff.
I was doing a lot of stuff. You know, the next thing that I could share it's a personal project. It's a passion project that I've been working for a few years now. I've been developing It's called Lady Luck. And I think the last time we talked, I told you a little bit about it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's basically inspired by my brother and I's relationship. And that it's like there's gambling, there's, you know, there's like ghosts, there's like, there's all the stuff that I loved while I was growing up, you know, with Hong Kong films and stuff, infused with the stuff here that I've watched.
Right, right. So. Are you writing it?
I am.
Okay. That I was going to say, are you going to direct it too? That's good. Okay.
That's good.
That's always exciting, right? I mean, that's the dream to like have this one passion project that you can just sink your teeth in, and because you know it by heart, you know all the, everything you kind of, it's in you. You know, it's the essence of, and to get it out when it's out, then you're like, yeah, that's awesome.
I love all these comments that are popping up from West.
Yeah. And he has Scarlett Johansson playing you. Come on.
she
gets cast for a lot of roles that she's not supposed to, but we won't get into that.
How about I play myself?
There's that too. You could play yourself.
A mockumentary.
Well, that's a good question. Has anyone ever played themselves in their own biography?
Like biopic movie?
Yeah. I don't think so, right? Yeah. That would be interesting. That would be really...
That's a dual role next level.
Yeah, that is some weird... That's some Twilight Zone stuff right there.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm going to want to play me. The worst reason why you won't want to play yourself is because what if like reviews come out and they're like, oh, unbelievable. You know, what? Wait, it's me. I'm playing me. How can I be believed as me? Howard Stern, Phil Lamb. What is Howard Stern? Howard Stern?
Howard Stern did that? I didn't know.
Oh, that's right. You're right. He sure did. That was a... any interesting movie? Yeah, that's right.
Oh, wait, recently Nick Cage, right?
Well, that's I guess that's true. Yeah,
that's just playing Nick Cage. Yeah,
and Unbearable Massive Talent or something like that.
Oh, I haven't watched it. I really want to.
It's good. It's actually really good. Yeah, it's actually very much worth going to see. Nick, if you like Nick Cage, then this is a movie you have to see.
Nice.
Yeah. This was fun. Are you going to be at the New York screening or just going to the LA screening? Okay, cool.
Few days.
Oh, cool. That's awesome.
The person live.
And, that should be fun to get whoever can come out. That'd be great. I'm learning a lot with all these conversations over the next couple of days. So,
thank you
for it's my pleasure. Like I said, I'm learning a lot, and Instagram Live is new for me, so
this is my first time.
This is your first time? Well, this is only my second time. Yesterday was my first.
Oh yeah, with Brian. Okay.
Yeah.
I wasn't able to.
I mean, you can't count the times when my camera came on by mistake and it was live, but I didn't mean it to. So that's a little different. But thank you so much for being on the interview and talking to me. And we'll like I said, karaoke must be had. You know, we'll get.
Yes.
I gotta have Phil. Phil has to come.
Yes, you do know some good spots, and I don't know any spots in New York.
Oh yeah, don't worry. I have plenty of friends who have taken me places in Koreatown that will have good karaoke. So
nice.
We'll all have a good time.
Can't
But before that, everybody, make sure you get your tickets for Silent River, which will be out on Thursday, August 4th at Asia Society. Go up to Asian Cinevision's website for the Asian American International Film Festival at www.aaiff.org and get tickets for the screening. If you're in Los Angeles, North Hollywood, the Valley Film Festival, Sunday, August 7th at 6:30. Be sure you get your tickets, www.valleyfilmfest.org. It's also down in the chat, so you can, if you're in the room, you can actually scroll up, and some of the links are in the chat. You can, oh my God, look at Gary Relos. I haven't seen you in a long time, dude. Thanks for coming on, but you came on late, but don't worry. Oh, and for those other, I have another Instagram live coming on today. I got another one coming up right after that with Chris.
Okay.
Chris is coming.
What time is that?
Chris is at, I believe, 4 o'clock, 4 p.m. EST.
Hard.
So. Oh,
4. That's 1 p.m.
Yep, your time. Wait, let me just make sure I'm right, because I'm an idiot.
No.
Okay, I'm not an idiot, but I've been doing a lot of these. And I,
it's confusing with the, you know, bi-coastal times.
Yeah, his is coming up today at 4 o'clock EST. So 4 o'clock EST, 1 p.m. PST with Chris Chanley. That all rhymes. That's pretty cool. Well,
okay. See you soon.
It was good seeing you. I'll see you soon.
Aaron, I'll see you soon.
Take care.
Bye.